in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. We adore you, Jesus. We reverence your holy name. We honor your presence in our midst. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Let this be a feast of light and glory indeed. Let your glory be revealed in its fullness. Let our lives be transformed. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. Grant us mysteries, insight into mysteries and secrets. Let there be transformation, impartation, revelation, empowerment, enlightenment. Equip us so that we will occupy till you come and fulfill the kingdom mandate in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. You might be seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I welcome you. So the part two of this very critical, very timely and very timeless apostolic teaching series, Occupy Till I Come. What a word in due season. You know, for those of you who have been following the news on what is happening, you will know that we are right on point. You see, God has always given us a word in season. Praise God. I say praise God. Occupy Till I Come, part 2. Last week, we started looking at this very powerful teaching series. And we laid a lot of foundation last week, Sunday. And just a brief recap. Luke 19 verse 12, where we took our reading from. Luke 19 verse 12. Praise God. Innocent, can you help me with this board? Just, I want you to move it here. Praise God. Luke 19 verse 12. It said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, okay, can we go back? Praise God. Let me bring out some keywords. A certain nobleman. Now, a nobleman is a royal of high rank. Okay, is a royal of high rank. Is a royal personality of high rank. Okay, Now, prophetically speaking, this noble man is actually Jesus himself, our Lord and Master. Praise God. Jesus, our Lord and Master, is the noble man in this story. He said, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Praise God. He's coming back again. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is coming back again. Don't get ready. Live ready. Live ready. Praise God. And we said the word kingdom is from the Greek word basilia. Basileus means king. A king is a leader of the people, the lord of the land, a sovereign, a prince, a commander. So kingdom is from the Greek word basilia, and it literally means the territory subject to the rule of a king, or a king's domain. Kingdom means royal power. That's basilia in Greek. Royal power, kingship, dominion, rule, the realm of the influence of a king. Praise God. And we define the kingdom of God as all realms or spheres under God's authority, under God's dominion, under God's jurisdiction, and under his rulership. We say the kingdom of God refers to all realms or spheres of all spheres under the controlling influence and government of God. Praise God. And we said the kingdom of heaven is a subset of the kingdom of God. Is that part or aspect of God's kingdom that Jesus came to the earth to establish. And it is headed by Jesus Christ himself. Praise God. That's why in the book of Matthew, you hear Matthew using that phrase a lot. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Praise God. We said the church is an army of kingdom advancers, kingdom establishers on earth. We are on a mission. Every believer is a missionary, and the world is our mission field. The world is our mission field. Every believer is a missionary. You know that when you hear missionary, the first thing that comes to your mind is the conventional missionary in the village, right? Yes, that's part of the missionary work, but that's not all of it. The whole world, not just the village, is a mission field. The whole world is a mission field, including the digital world, including the media spaces, social media spaces, the internet. The world, entire world, both actual and virtual, both online and on-site, is a mission field. And every born-again Christian is a missionary God has sent. Am I communicating? Into the mission field of the world. You know, people no longer live in geographical spaces alone. People live now in digital spaces. Technology has gone far. Research shows that the average person spends 4 to 6 hours on the internet every day. Am I communicating? That's to tell you that people don't just live in geographical spaces. They live in digital spaces. Especially youths. People are glued to their phone. So that means you have to reach out to them there where they are. Am I communicating? The digital world, the social media, the internet multimedia, they are part of the mission field. You must learn to leverage this platform for kingdom advancement. Leverage the platform to reach out to souls. Am I communicating? Never be ashamed of talking about Jesus. Praise God. So, you need to understand this. People don't just live in physical, geographical spaces. They now live in digital spaces.
So this is why the media is important in reaching out to the world using the gospel. The gospel has always spread on the wings of media. Do you know that? This Bible you are holding, do you know it's media that made it possible? Print media, right? How did the word of God come to us, including this Bible you are holding? It's through what? Print media. The media has often, you see, the gospel has often spread on the wings of media. Thank God today, we don't just have print media. We have all other forms of media, including social media. Am I communicating? We must use it as a platform for what? To do kingdom business, to preach the gospel of Christ, to advance the kingdom, to advocate for the cause of Christ, to win souls. Am I communicating? Use it as a tool for discipleship. Praise God. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. So it's not just for snapping video and posting pictures. Use it as a platform to preach the gospel. Let me preach it to your neighbor. Please use media as a platform to do kingdom business. So, the church is a missionary church. We are on a divine mission on earth. Listen, oh, that's why you mustn't live like the unbelievers. No. Stop living just to survive. Change that mentality. We are not here to struggle to make ends meet. I've told you are not a survivor. You are a savior from Zion. Am I communicating? You have been sent to the earth realm on a mission. John 20:21. Jesus said, as the Father have sent me, so send I you. So we've been sent in the same capacity, just like Jesus was sent by the Father, on a kingdom advancement mission. God has a kingdom agenda that even predates the foundation of the world. Give me Matthew 25 verse 34. Watch this. The day I saw this, my God, it blew my mind that God had a kingdom agenda that pre-existed the foundation of this world. As in, God's kingdom agenda was there even before God created the world. Are you aware? In fact, it was because of his kingdom agenda that was even why he created the world. Because the earth was meant to be a colony of heaven. Am I talking to you? Are you here tonight? I said the earth was designed by God to be a colony of heaven. Just like the Roman Empire have colonies those days, being ruled by Mother Rome. Am I communicating? Julius Caesar was in Rome. He didn't need to be in all the other colonies. He has placed his lords and emperors, all those their kings, through which he is ruling those empire. Just like Judea, when Jesus was born, when he was on earth, just like Judea was a colony of the Roman Empire, which was a then world power. See, listen, this earth that God created was designed by God to be a colony of heaven. You know, man cannot rule in heaven because heaven already has a king. Two kings cannot rule in the same territory. Am I communicating? So God wanted man to have a feel of what it means to rule. Am I communicating? He wants man to handle that responsibility of ruling a kingdom, a territory. So God needed to make a colony. And that was why he created the earth. So in other words, his kingdom agenda was what he had in mind before he created the earth. Look at it. He said, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When was the kingdom prepared? From the foundation of the world. So God's kingdom agenda predated the earth. Am I communicating? This is very important. That was why when God created man in Genesis 1:26, he said, let's create man in our image and in our likeness. Praise God. Some people have argued, theologians have debated to and fro whether there were beings. God created some beings before Adam and Eve. Well, you ask me, I don't know. But all I know is that man was the first created being in the image and likeness of God. Mark that word. In what? The image and likeness of God. Adam, Eve, they were the first. I don't know, maybe there were other beings, but one thing I know is that those beings were not created in the image and likeness of God. Period. Adam was the first. Adam and Eve. The first being to be created in what? The image and what? Likeness of God. Mark that word. To look like God and to function like God. So you resemble God. Tell your neighbor you look like your father. Carbon copy. You resemble God. Praise God. Is it let us make man Matthew what am I saying? Genesis 1:26. Praise God. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Let them have dominion. Dominion over which realm? Earth. Can you see? In other words, who is the crown king over the earth realm? Adam. Who is the first God? Who was the first God of this world? Adam. God gave him authority. The word dominion is from the Hebrew word radar. Radar means sovereignty, complete authority. Praise God. It means to bring something under subjection. Okay? To prevail against, to tread upon. These are all synonyms. It means to rule and to reign. Am I communicating? Let them have dominion. You don't talk about dominion without a domain. Am I communicating? Because the word kingdom simply means a king's domain. So, that's a domain where a king exercises dominion or lordship. Am I communicating? So, he said, let them have dominion. Question, over which domain? Talk to me. What's the domain? The earth realm. Praise God. And we saw how Adam committed high treason, lost that dominion and authority to Satan. But thank God, through the redemptive work of Christ, legally, Christ needed to come and pay the price for humanity's transgression, okay, in his substitutionary sacrifice, and then he restored that dominion, okay, back to the church. Praise God. It says, all authority, Matthew 28:18, in heaven and in earth, after Jesus resurrected as a triumphant, victorious Lord. Am I communicating? After his conquest in hell, and he gained the victory over death, over sin, over Satan, over the grave, and arose as a triumphant general. And then he landed and said, all hail, all authority in heaven and in earth have been what? Given to me. Praise God. And then on the basis of that, go ye therefore. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he said, as the Father have sent me, even so send I you. He said, go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations. The Greek word nations is ethnos. I define for you the meaning of ethnos there. It's not the same as the meaning of nation as you see today. As in, they say Nigeria is a nation, Ghana is a nation. But this Greek word translated ethnos is not country. It's not referring to country. Ethnos means, let me read it out for you. When I tell you the meaning of ethnos, you will now realize that the country Nigeria has plenty nations inside. We have so many nations within our country. Praise God. Okay, what's the meaning of ethnos? Ethnos means a multitude of individuals of the same nature. or genus. Ethnos means a multitude of individuals of the same nature or race. The same nature or genus or a race of individual of the same habit. A people group with similar characteristics, similar habits. That is a tribe. How many tribes do we have in Plateau State alone? You did GST. How many tribes are in Plateau? So we have the Angas ethnos, we have the Tarok ethnos, we have the Magavul ethnos, we have what? Igbira ethnos. Talk to me now. Afizere ethnos, Birom ethnos. Praise God. Mupun ethnos. Let me add my own. Glory to God. So you can see that there are so many ethnoses, if there's any English like that, okay, within the country called Nigeria. Igbo ethnos, Hausa ethnos. Praise God. They have similar habits, language, characteristics. So ethnos does not refer to country, it's people groups. Okay? Also, in various professions, there are different ethnos. There is a medical ethnos, there is the engineering ethnos, there is the ethnos of lawyers, the legal ethnos. Praise God. I say praise God. There is a media ethnos. So that's what Jesus meant when he said, go ye therefore. This is our marching order from our commanding officer in chief. His name is Jesus. So we've been given a divine mandate to colonize our ethnos with the life of the kingdom, with the culture of our kingdom. The world have their culture. Abi? Idoma people have their culture, right? Tarok people have their culture, right? Mupun people have their culture. Igbo have their culture. Chinese people have their culture. Indians have their culture. The English people have their culture. But guess what? We too, our kingdom, we have a kingdom culture. It's just that many believers have not been taught and trained in the way of the kingdom. God is saying, go and indoctrinate the ethnos in this world with the life of the kingdom, with the culture of the kingdom, our own kingdom, with our value system, with our kingdom philosophy. We have our own philosophy. Am I communicating? You know, the day you got born again, you became a citizen of God's kingdom. Jesus told Nebuchadnezzar, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom. That see there is not with physical eyes. It's talking of spiritual seeing, perception. Except a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. So, being born again is your what? Your what? Your passport into the kingdom. Gate pass. So the day you got born again, you were born into the kingdom. You became a citizen of God's kingdom. Am I communicating? Heaven becomes your homeland. Your land of nativity. Your origin changed the day you got born again. Am I communicating? Your earthly origin changed the day you got born again. You are now a bona fide citizen of God's kingdom. Okay? You were born of the word of God. You were born. To be born again means to be born of the word. To be born again means to be born of the spirit. The Holy Spirit gave birth to you. The word of God gave birth to you. You are an offspring of the word. You are an offspring of the spirit. God the Father himself gave birth to you. So who is your father? If you run DNA tests, who will you show paternity test as your father? God. Tell your neighbor, I did a DNA test And it confirmed, it proved beyond any iota of doubt that God is my Father. So you are a child of God. That's what it means to be born again. It was not a religion you received the day you got saved. No. You received the life of God. And that life of God recreated your human spirit and imparted to you the nature of God. And you became a citizen of God's kingdom. Praise God. So you can... You see, something happens to your spiritual perception the day you got born again. Your spirit was awakened to the reality of the kingdom. Your understanding was quickened. So you can now participate in kingdom activities. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have been sent to indoctrinate the world with our kingdom ideology, with our kingdom philosophy, kingdom ideology, value system. For them, we want them to acquire the mindset of the kingdom. We have our own kingdom life, culture, and civilization. That's what Jesus is saying. Colonize your ethnos with this. For instance, the people of the world, they have... when you talk of culture, they have their own culture of dressing, right? Eh? Have you seen those badass dressing? Eh? Those demonically anointed fashion designers these days. You see what they are sewing? Now, that's the way of the world. That's their own culture. Are you getting me? We can't just keep complaining and shouting. It will not change anything. Because these people are under a demonic influence. The Bible says, the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, am I communicating, is the one controlling them. So how do we solve that problem? That's why he said, go ye into all the world. Carry our own kingdom culture. Show them how to sew clothes. Are you getting all this one? Exposed front, exposed back, all this half naked dress. Tell them, no be so. Come, let me teach you our kingdom fashion design system. Are you getting me? So we need believers even in the fashion design industry. We need believers in the media world. We need believers everywhere. Glory to God. You look at the medical world now. Technology is moving very fast. Now you hear them talking about eugenics. Eugenics. That's human genetic engineering. As in, with eugenics, you can do and undo so many things. As in gene editing, they can edit human genes and alter human genome. You've heard of cloning. You see, we need believers in all these areas, or else, the kind of things you will see this end time, it go shock you. But I'm telling you ahead so that it no go shock you. Praise God. You don't know. You can have designer babies. Have you heard of designer babies? Do you know the way technology is these days, Seth? A woman can carry pregnancy in 9 months and deliver the baby, and yet she's not the biological mother. Technology have gone far. Have you not heard of surrogacy, surrogate mothers, in which a woman can hire another woman to carry her pregnancy for her? Then they will pay you. It's business. A lot of people, women in the Europe, they do that. Say, me, I don't want pregnancy to damage my ship. So they will pay somebody. They will pay, as in, they will use artificial reproductive technology. In vitro fertilization, all these other technique, intracytoplasmic sperm injection, outside in a lab or something, they will carry the sperm of the father, the person that wants to father the child, and then inject it into the egg, fertilize it outside, then they will now put it inside the woman that wants to carry the pregnancy for the person, the surrogate mother. So you see a woman with pregnancy in 9 months, she will now deliver. Madam, congratulations. Oh, say, no be me, be the mama. Oh, I'm only doing business. You see, technology have gone this far. Praise God. Do you know a woman can be a mother and she's still a virgin? That's how far technology have gone. You don't know what I just explained. Is it not possible? A woman can have a child, yes, she's still a virgin. They'll just harvest the egg now. What they need is the egg, right? Then you look for a surrogate mother to carry the baby for you. That's the world we are living in. But the worst of them all is this surrogate mother. Not surrogate mother. The worst is eugenetics. Eugenics. This gene editing. This one is serious because they want to alter a woman being. They want to alter a woman being. They can even produce what looks like a woman, humanoid species. In the book of Revelation, John talked about some people whose name are not written in the book of life. How is that possible? The way that is possible is by this eugenics, as in producing humanoid species, the type they can control. They can just press something. All of you don't go to church today, and the person will stay at home because it's the person's genes have been altered. Is being controlled. Praise God. That's the kind of world we are living in. You see, they are all part of the event Jesus said will happen in the end time. Praise God. So you need to wake up. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Jesus is coming soon, and sooner than you think. Let's continue our reading. It says a nobleman went on a journey, Luke 19. And then he is to return, and then Luke 19, verse 13. Move on. To receive for himself a kingdom. He called his how many servants? Ten servants. Okay, and I told you, actually, 10 is a symbol of authority and government. Praise God. It's a symbol of authority and government. When we talk about the kingdom of God, he's talking of the government of God. His person, his government, his governmental influence. Praise God. And then the servants there is representing what? The church. Not church building, the body of Christ. Okay? All believers, the universal church, body of Christ. Praise God. All those who have confessed and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those that are genuinely born again. Praise God. So we are his servants. You know, he said, you want to be born again. The one white man say, do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord? He said, no. They asked him why. He said, I know the meaning of Lord. That means he's going to be my master. As in, he's going to become my owner. Say, no, let me go and think about it. You know, people just say things, they don't think about what they are about to do. Do you know, the day you confessed the Lordship of Jesus, he became your Lord. And what's the meaning of Lord? Lord means what? Master. That means you became his servant from that day. He became your master. Lord means owner. Who owns you? The day you got born again, you have a new owner. Who owns you? Before you got born again, you had a different owner. Satan owned you because you were in his kingdom. And Satan rules over the kingdom of darkness. But the day you got born again, you changed kingdoms. Okay? You were born into God's kingdom and you have a new master. His name is what? Jesus. He became your Lord and your owner. Paul uses the term love slave, born servant. He say, Paul, a born servant of Jesus. The Greek word born servant is dolos. Dolos, a born servant. You see, In the Old Testament, there were two types of servant. There is hired servant, there is bond servant. A hired servant, as the name implies, he works for his pay over the specified period of time, and the master releases him. It's called freedom. In fact, on the day of Jubilee, one of the things that happened is that all slaves, that's hired servants, are freed. Praise God. That's a hired servant. But listen, though, we born again Christian, we are not hired servants. We are born servant. Who is a born servant? Now, when a hired servant, after serving within the period of time, after serving his master, and he has met all the requirements, and then the master decides to free him, or maybe on the year of Jubilee, the master decides to free him, say, you are free to go. Then the servant say, no, master, you've been so good to me. I want to spend the rest of my life serving you. I love you so much. I want to serve you the rest of my life. Make me your bond servant. Then the master will now brand him. You know, if you watch all these old movies, medieval movies, you know, even in the book of Exodus, in the Old Testament, the master normally put his mark on his bond servant. It may be on their ear, it may be on their back, or somewhere on their hand. Am I communicating? To show that this slave belongs to me for life. He is my bond servant. Praise God. What is the motivation behind him becoming the bond, a bond servant to his master? Somebody say love. That's why Paul uses that term. Paul, a doulos, born servant of Christ. Why? We love him because he first loved us. What is the highest motivation for kingdom service? Somebody say love. Love for God and love for humanity. If you love God, you will serve him. Praise God. If you love God, you will engage in kingdom service. Glory to God. You will do his bidding. You will submit to him, and the proof of submission is obedience. You will obey him. If he says, go ye into all the world and preach, you will not stand trying to rationalize the instruction. You will what? Plunge and carry it out sharply in obedience. Glory to God. We are his servants. We do his bidding. He said we should go and preach. Therefore we preach. Praise God. He called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 pounds. He gave them money, 10 pounds. And I told you this represents capital. He gave us something, a form of empowerment. Praise God. Now, there are different dimensions to this empowerment. There is spiritual empowerment with the grace and the anointing. There is mental empowerment. There is economic empowerment. Money. Praise God. So he gave them capital. 10 pounds represent capital. And he gave them, he said to them, occupy till I come. He gave them an assignment, kingdom assignment. Okay? He gave us an assignment, a mission, a mandate. Praise God. Help me. What is the mission? What is the mandate that Jesus gave us? Occupy till I come. It's kingdom business. Do kingdom business till I come. Occupy till I come means do kingdom business. What's the kingdom business? Kingdom advancement and establishment through the preaching and teaching of the gospel plus discipleship. Am I communicating? Praise God. We said Jesus mandated us to enthrone and establish the person and the government of Christ first over the hearts of men, then secondly across every strata of society and territories, Our goal is to reveal, glorify, and institutionalize Christ and his kingdom. Okay? First in the heart of men, and then across territories, across strata of the society. Okay, go back to that Matthew 28, verse 19. Is it going into all the world and preach the gospel? That's what is popularly called the Great Commission. We said there are two aspects of this Great Commission. One is a quantitative aspect, which has to do with soul winning and evangelism. Okay, salvation of souls. Okay, preach the gospel. We preach and we teach the gospel, get people saved. Okay, salvation of souls through soul winning and evangelism is a quantitative aspect of the Great Commission. Then there is a qualitative aspect, qualitative aspect of the Great Commission, which has to do with discipleship and transformation of individuals, families, territories, society, nations. Praise God. Somebody say discipleship and transformation. So the qualitative aspect is very critical because it's key to taking over society and the seven mountains of influence. It has to do with infiltrating, dominating, and taking over every sphere of influence for our Lord and Christ. We define discipleship as a system of methodical mentorship. Discipleship is a system of methodical mentorship through sound teaching. Through sound teaching and training of people, individuals, nations, families, territories, by the word and the spirit of God. And we said discipleship leads to what? Growth, transformation, and maturity. Okay, of the saints. Praise God. There can be no growth and maturity or transformation without discipleship. Okay? So you must submit yourself to sound teaching. That's why he says, go ye therefore. Now there are two teach here. He said, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you, what is that name? Somebody is saying it with fear. Say it louder. What's that name? What's that name now? What's the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? It's the name of Jesus. It's the same name all of them bear. Praise God. Okay? Then verse 20. Watch this. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You see, there are two teach. You see, the second teaching. Go back to verse 19. The first one, go in the road and teach. Can you see teach there? Now in the English, in King James Version, it is teaching. But in the Greek, there are two different words. When he says, go ye therefore and teach, the Greek word here is different from the Greek word teaching in verse 20. The Greek word here is matetio. Go ye and teach. Teach is matetio. Matetio literally means make disciples. NIV. Give me NIV translation. It means to make disciples, as in to enroll as a scholar. As in, the people of the world are your pupil, you are their teacher. Am I communicating? So it has to do with discipleship. He said, go therefore, make disciples of all ethnos. Are you getting the point? You are to teach them. You are to train them. You are to disciple them. Are you getting me? Indoctrinate them. Glory to God. Doctrine is very important. I was talking with my wife today. I told her something. I said, a teacher has more influence over the life of people than a prophet. Some of you are surprised. Yes. You know why? Because listen, a teacher shapes your belief system. A teacher affects your conviction. Your conviction is shaped through the kind of teaching that you receive. Your belief system is shaped by the kind of teaching you receive. Your perspective, your mindset, your worldview. And guess what? Your belief system determines your attitude, behavior, and action. So can you see that people's life largely is governed by the kind of teaching they are exposed to? So it matters what you hear. It matters what you learn, the kind of teaching that you lend your ears to, because it's going to affect the quality of your life. Am I communicating? You must expose yourself to sound doctrine. Thank God for ministries like this. Praise God. And guess what? When you are in a church or ministry where you are being taught sound teaching or sound doctrine under the anointing, I'm telling you, your mind will be renewed and there will be transformation in your life. Praise God. You will start noticing changes. And listen, this transformation that comes through sound teaching of God's word, the undiluted word of God, it affects positively every other area of your life. It will affect every... You will just notice that you are making progress. Praise God. Wrong teaching is very terrible. In fact, Satan can keep not just individuals, not just territories bound through wrong teaching. Satan can actually enslave a generation through wrong teaching. I'm telling you the truth. Because I once made a statement. I say a false teacher is more dangerous than a false prophet. How many of you remember that statement? You know why? Because if a false prophet dies, that's the end of his ministry. But a false teacher, even after his death, he has raised disciples. He has written books. He has preached messages. They have recorded it here and there. He will continue to derail and negatively influence people even after his death. Are you getting the point? That is how dangerous wrong teaching is. And teaching governs behavior. That's why in the New Testament, I think it's 1 Timothy 5:17, he said, "Count them worthy of double honor, those that labor in the word and doctrine." And Amplified brings it clearer. He said, "Those that labor in preaching and teaching." He said, "Count them worthy of double honor." There's a translation that says, "Pay them double salary." Those that labor in what? In preaching and teaching. That's to tell you how important teaching is. It controls and affects your entire life. A teacher has more influence over your life than even a prophet. Is this serious? Am I communicating? Kalido Borakataya. Mande Polatiza. That's why Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Be careful what you hear. Because anything you are hearing is entering your heart. It's going to shape your belief system. You see, most of the times, people's behavior, people's way of thinking, their mindset, their behavior and action is a reflection of the kind of teaching they are exposed to. Am I communicating? So sometimes you wonder why somebody is thinking in this particular wrong way. Why this person is behaving this wrong way. And you are trying to change them. It will not work. You have to go and correct. Go to the taproot of the problem. There is something they are hearing. Are you getting me? They are not being exposed to the right teaching. Something has affected their mindset that is responsible for this outcome. In terms of their thinking pattern and behavior. So to correct it, you have to expose them to sound teaching. Am I communicating? You start from there. Romans 12 verse 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. through the teaching of the sound and anointed word of God. Glory to God. I say glory to God.
Hallelujah.
There are some people that come to me for counseling. After listening to them, I will just recommend, I say, go and listen to this message, listen to this message, listen to this message, and join our Telegram channel. Because I know that if this person is exposed to the right teaching and their minds are renewed, it will go a long way to solve plenty of their wahalas, problems. Are you getting my point? You don't know you don't know the multifaceted positive effect that, or transformation that the teaching of God's word is bringing to you. I was talking with my wife this morning. I said most of the marriage seminar, they are focusing on how to get the right partner, how to get the right spouse, but my question is, who will produce the right partner? You see the problem? Everybody is looking for ready-made. Everybody wants the right partner. Question, who will produce it? How will the right partner be produced? This is where you need what? The ministry of God's word that will transform your life, renew your mind. You will stop thinking all those Nollywood movies, Hollywood movies, all those Hadley and Chase novels, it has given you a wrong mindset that if you carry that mindset into relationship and marriage, you will fail. It will produce Nollywood kind of result. Rancinua and Genevieve. You see, that's why you need to renew your mind. You see why we think we teach God's word? It needs to knock out some mindsets. Are you getting me? Shalabagada kabagada. Eleketo segilagabada. Anytime you watch a movie, you are being discipled. I've taught you before. Don't just say it's entertainment. You are being discipled. And if you think it's a lie, just watch. It's a matter of time. You will start thinking that way. Are you getting me? Have you watched those Nollywood movies that a guy met a girl for the first time and then he escorted her to her house and then he has gotten to her door? Go house now. You know, go house. They will now be looking at each other. They will now be playing those kind of sound. Strings, violin, even his Indian movie. India know how to do that thing very well. All these Z-word kind of, you know, and those things tear emotions. Even, you know, he's looking at her, they are staring at each other. Instead of him to go in papa house, he no go. When I'm looking, before you know, he don't enter. Before you know, they are on the bed. You see? Now, you say you are watching just for entertainment, but just watch it. By the time you two start relationship, gang, the movie will start playing. Watch it. It will start playing. You went to see. I tell you, see, listen, you are being discipled. Unless your mindset is already shaped by kingdom value system, unless you have already acquired kingdom ideology and philosophy, you will fall for their own. That's the truth. And unfortunately, many Christians are falling for their own. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are singing Davido music. Say, it's just, it's harmless. Secular music is harmless. I pity for you. You don't know every music has a source. It has a sound. And it has what? Lyrics. But every song has a source. Praise God. Never be deceived to think that those songs are harmless. There's nothing like harmless secular song. Wake up. The word music is from the word muse. And what does it mean to muse? So, in other words, music was meant to shape your thinking, to give you a particular mindset. In addition to the song penetrating your spirit, there's what we call cerebral overriding. As in, it will enter your heart without the conscious permission of your brain. Am I communicating? And whatever spirit is behind the music will end up influencing you. Somebody has listened to a song. The person so listened to the song, the person received impartation from that demonic song, and after listening a while, the person went and committed suicide. She hung herself. What was inside the song? The song was a very depressing song. So the spirit of depression jumped from the song and entered the woman. She went and committed suicide. Say, this war, what is even in it? Nothing. Just end your life. Eh? Nigeria, jaga, jaga. Everything is scatter, scatter. Poor man, they suffer, suffer. Gunshot in the air. And you are singing. He said, not just for entertainment. Very soon, your life will jaga, jaga. You will soon receive an impartation of demons from that song that will jaga, jaga your life and scatter, scatter your life. Sing songs of Zion. Sing songs of Zion. Are you getting me? We have our own sound. Direct from our Heavenly Father. Inspired by the Holy Ghost. That's why you should not miss a Glory Incense Concert and Crusade. 2023. Praise God. So there is an assignment. Glory to God. I said there is an assignment. There are three Greek words for world. Write down this very fast. Somebody should help me with the board. There are three Greek words for world. The first is cosmos. Give me Matthew chapter 4 verse 8. Cosmos. The first Greek word I want to analyze. Cosmos. Cosmos. C-O-S-M-O-S. Or some people say K-O-S-M-O-S. Whether C or K, both are correct. Okay. What is cosmos? Cosmos refers to the systems, social strata, and sectors of this world. Praise God. The first one I say is cosmos, right? Some people use K here. It's still correct. The systems. Systems of the world. Social strata and sectors of the world. Okay. Cosmos also means the orderly arrangement, the orderly arrangement, ornament and decoration of things in the world. The orderly arrangement, ornament, decoration, adornment of things in the world. Okay? Now, Matthew 4:8, again, the devil taketh him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world. The Greek word translated world here is cosmos. Okay? He saw all the world systems, saw all their glory, saw the social arrangement, the sectors. Praise God. The orderly arrangement, the adornment, the government of this world. Then Mark chapter 16 verse 15. He's still talking about cosmos. Mark 16:15. Look at what Jesus said.
He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He said unto them, still the great commission, go ye into all the world. The world there is cosmos. And preach the gospel. Proclaim, publish, announce the gospel to every creature. Praise God. So we've been sent into the cosmos. And we will not stop until the kingdoms of this world become what? The kingdom of our God and of we is Christ. The seven mountains of influence, they are in the cosmos. What are those seven mountains? Let's look at them. Deuteronomy 7 verse 1. The seven mountains of influence are here. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and had cast out many nations before thee. Now, in the New Testament, the land, promised land, okay, was occupied by seven nations having giants in them. Praise God. These seven nations occupying the promised land that God needed to help the children of Israel dispossess and cast out before they could possess the land is prophetic of the seven mountains of influence. Am I communicating? These seven nations represent prophetically the seven mountains of influence. Let's look at them. The first one is what? The Hittites. The Hittites is from the word Eth. E-H-E-T-H. Eth. Eth means terror. Terror. Fear. And this is a mountain of Media. The Hittite represent the mountain of Media. Praise God. You see how they use information to terrorize people, right? Frighten people, release fear and all of that. The Hittite is a mountain of Media. Number two, the Girgashite. The Girgashite represent the mountain of government, politics and government. Number three, the Amorite. The Amorite represent the mountain of education. Number four, the Canaanite. The Canaanite represent the mountain of economy or business or money. Ego. Praise God. The mountain of economy. Now, the Hebrew word translated Canaanite means a trader. Or a merchant man. A merchant. A trader. A merchant. That's a business person, right? Economy. Someone into trade and commerce. So, the mountain of Canaan is very critical. Because this is a mountain, the mountain of economy, that feeds and fuels other mountains, right? Eh? Canaan is so important that the promised land, in short, is called the land of Canaan. In summary. Did you notice that? Okay. Next, the Perizzites. The Perizzites represent the family mountain, the mountain of family. Then the Evites represent the mountain of, which one I have not mentioned? Religion. Evite is religion. Why the Jebusite is what? Arts and entertainment. Praise God. Seven mountains represented here. You also see those seven mountains prophetically in Revelation 17. We'll see it later. Praise God. Now look up, look up. Of all these seven mountains, there are three of them. One, two, three. That is of critical importance. I will list them. Number one is government / politics. Others are important too, but these three is of critical importance because they affect almost all the rest. Number two is economy. Number three is religion. I will tell you why. Look up. The Antichrist will
use these three mountains to control the whole world after the rapture of the church, when it is later revealed. These three mountains are of critical importance both to God and Satan. Look up. Government and politics is a gateway mountain. Through one decree, one policy, one bill signed into law, do you know it can crumble kingdom business? It can frustrate kingdom. How did the Roman Empire persecute the church, frustrate the church? Was it not through politics and governance? They made laws, they made decrees, they passed bill into law that forbade the preaching of the gospel, that made it possible for Christians to be penalized, that made it a crime. Christianity became like a crime in the Roman Empire. Have you not read about the wicked Emperor Nero? Emperor Titus. How many of you have eaten Titus sardine? Let me see your hand now. Raise it up. Titus. Is it not sweet? Those fish. Did you see the head of that man that is on the container? That is Emperor Titus. Some of you don't know the history. You are just chopping the thing. You don't know the history. Emperor Titus was one of those wicked emperors. You know the way they mesh fish? That was what he did to Christians in the persecution. Nero will use Christian as torchlight. They will pour flammable liquid on them and set them on fire. They will use them as street lights. They will release lions, wild animals, leopard on believers during this their Olympic game. Was in Colosseum, right? They will release those things, and people will be watching and smiling. They will just be laughing. They will be watching tiger tear Christians, eat them alive. Some of them will be killed brutally, beheaded. What is their crime? Because they refuse to renounce Christ, and because they refuse to stop preaching the gospel. Now, why did Satan succeed in all of that? Somebody say politics. It will be a big error for Christians to leave politics and governance to Satan. We need to take over this mountain. Very important. Please, so if God is calling you into politics, obey kia kia. Our people say kia kia. Don't worry, we will train you. We go cook you. No worry. They say if you cannot beat them, join them. You will not join them. Oh, the training we will give you here, you will not go and join the corrupt politicians, Nigerian politicians, and be doing all those things and be joining cult for power. Nonsense. You will be like Daniel. We are raising politicians after the order of Daniel. Am I communicating? After the order of Joseph. Men and women that will be thoroughly trained. See, by the time you go through AGMI, you will be a politician with a difference. I'm telling you, a senator, a governor, a minister, a president with a difference. If you cannot beat them, don't join them. Change strategy. Bite them or do something else, but don't join them. Praise God. Not the one that the system will swallow up. You know, you need to be well trained. Remember, they say the promised land is a land that swallows up its inhabitant. So the system can swallow you when you are not well trained and cooked. Are you getting me? But we are going to train and equip you. Glory to God. Just like Daniel, just like Joseph, you will enter the system, Malekoba, with red eyes, with redness of eyes and hotness of heart, and you will take over the system with the wisdom and the power of the Spirit. Can you shout amen? Amen. Economy. Everybody wants money. Everybody needs money. True of us. This is a mountain that feed and fuel all other mountains. Satan understands this very well. That's why he hides behind money to crave human worship. He knows that money is the one thing all human beings are looking for. So he now came up with a strategy to frustrate them and make them to sell their soul to him before he gives it to them. That's why people join cult. That's why people cheat, do all manner of things, damage their integrity through dishonest means. Just do yahoo yahoo, anything. Politicians, they bribe, they cheat, they lie, they steal money, embezzle fund. You know, people just get it by all means and sell their soul to the devil. But tell yourself, not me. You are going to have it and have clean money. Somebody say clean money. There is a kingdom economic system. We just finished a series in Metamorphosis. That's why we are teaching you how to make money the kingdom way, so that you don't bow to Satan. Okay? Am I communicating? And I'm telling you, kingdom financial emperors and lords are rising. The Solomons are rising. You know, in the days of Solomon, Israel was the economic world power. And you know, the end time church is a reigning church. And we are going to rule and reign. God is looking for people that will commit kingdom wealth into their hands. But you must prove yourself faithful. Praise God. You must prove yourself faithful. So, we must take over that mountain. Kingdom businessmen must arise. Kingdom captain of industries must arrive. They must arise where we use kingdom principles, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we dominate this mountain of economy. Then religion has to do with a system of worship of a deity, whether God or something else. Am I communicating? That's religion. But guess what? Satan is behind all the world's religion. Satan doesn't care what people believe, as long as it is not the true God they are worshipping. Hope you know that. This religious plurality is Satan's idea. There are only three religions, in quote, three. And as I'm taking Christianity as a religion, because true Christianity is not a religion. There is religion inside Christianity. James told us, say to visit the fatherless and widow. That's the religion in Christianity. But Christianity on its own is not a religion. But let's assume it is a religion, like the people of the world class it as a religion. There are three religions that believe in only one God. Number one, Judaism, which is even the oldest of all of them. Number two, Christianity. Number three, Islam. And three of them are traced to Papa Abraham. Papa Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation, right? Is the father of Ishmael too, right? Isaac gave birth to the natural Jews. Ishmael gave birth to what? The Islamic world. Those 12 princes that formed the core Arab nation, they are all children of Ishmael now. And that's why those nations, those core is Islamic Arab that are traced to the lineage of Ishmael, that's why they are blessed with crude oil, petrol, and all of that. Because they came from Abraham's loins. You remember? Huh? Or you forgot? Those people have crude oil, though. Those Middle East, Arab nation, they have oil. Praise God. Then Christianity came from the spiritual seed of Abraham, right? Which is Christ. And Christ has a head called Jesus, has a body called the church. So you see, all the three of them came from Abraham. They believe in only one God, monotheism. All the other world religion believe in more than one God. Am I communicating? What we call polytheism. Praise God. Now, if you read Revelation 13, the Antichrist, during his reign, there will be one world government, there will be one world economy, there will be one world religion. That's why these three mountains are very critical. Praise God. One world government, one world economy, and one world what? Religion. The Antichrist will force everybody to worship his image and Satan. It will demand worship. And it will demand the worship of Satan. The worship of the beast is actually the worship of the Satan. The Antichrist is Satan's incarnate. No, let me explain something. Just like Jesus, God came in the flesh in form of Jesus, right? Eh? Who was Jesus? God in the flesh. Now listen, the Antichrist is Satan in the flesh. It's an incarnation of Satan. Are you getting the point? Just like Jesus was incarnation of God. So, through his government and his terrible draconian laws, he will force everybody to worship him. Okay? And his image. Or else they will be killed. In fact, nobody can buy or sell until they accept his mark on their forehead. That's during the Great Tribulation, the second 3.5 years. Okay? If I have time, I'll touch some things on that. Praise God. Now, he will be interested in these three mountains I put up there as his topmost priority. Religion, economy, and what? Government. Glory to God. Look at what is happening today. Israel were on their own. Hamas terrorists. One demon just entered them. They just went and attacked innocent people, killed them, beheaded them, raped women, killed innocent children, and they expect Israel not to respond, not to defend themselves. Pastor Adebo is, and plenty, in fact, plenty men of God in the world are saying we should stand with Israel and pray for Israel. Some foolish people online are saying, is it only Israel? Okay. It's like saying, when Boko Haram is attacking and killing people, they now say, pray for those people. You say, no. Is it only those people? Let's pray for the Boko Haram too. You, go and pray for them. Pray for them. Praise God. And by the way, there is a scriptural command that we should pray for Israel. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper the what? There is a blessing for praying for Israel. It's in the Bible, Psalm 122. It's a command. Okay, we were not commanded to pray for terrorists. Praise God. And if you touch Israel, you are in trouble. You know the kind of weapons they have? You can't win Israel. All those seven Arab nations that ganged up against them one time, how did they end? Did they defeat Israel? And then Israel was not even as advanced in terms of military and technology like they are today. Is it now that you will come and mess up with them? Say they should forgive. They should forgive, oh. Like somebody, is it one military? No, it's Putin that's made one statement. They say you should forgive. Some terrorist or something? He said, well, he said it is up to God to forgive, but it is up to him to send the person to God to go and receive the forgiveness. If you sin against him, he will send you to go and meet God for forgiveness. You go and collect it there. Am I communicating? Praise God. So, the second Greek word for world is aeon. Aeon. Okay? There are three of them I will give you. Aeon. Aeon. Aeon means age, dispensation, period of time, course of life. It means age. Okay, dispensation, period of time, particular period of time, course of life. It also means course of life. Praise God. Let's see where it was
used in the Bible. Give me 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. It says, in whom, okay, if you start reading from verse 3, say, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that believe not. It is hid to them that are lost. Okay, look at their condition. It says, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, now that world there is not cosmos, that world is eon. Okay, the God of this age, dispensation, period of time, course of life, had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. Ephesians 2 verse 2. Ephesians 2 verse 2. Praise God. Are you learning something? You know, this is also a school. This is a school. Okay? Ephesians 2 verse 2. It says, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world. Now, that course there, the word cause is cosmos. Sorry, did I say cosmos? Eon. I beg your pardon. According to the cause or eon of this cosmos. So the two Greek words are used there. The cause is eon, while the world there is cosmos. According to the eon of this cosmos, which is under the controlling influence of Satan, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So you see those two Greek words in this verse. Then Hebrews 11 verse 3. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Praise God. Through faith we understand the walls. Walls here is eon. Okay? Through faith we understand the walls or dispensations of ages, okay, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of the things which do appear. Oh God, that means you can use the word of God to frame the course of your life. Glory to God. Then the third Greek word translated world is oikomene. Oikomene means the whole inhabited earth, land, that is the terrain part of the globe. Okay, this is the land part of the earth, the terrain part of the globe. Part of the globe. The whole inhabited earth. Praise God. So he's talking of the land part of the earth. Okay? This land part, the terrain part that you see, that is oikomene. Am I communicating? So let's see where it was used. Give me Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Is that world there is oikomene. In all the oikomene for a witness. He didn't say all of them will get born again. He didn't say all of them will believe. He said for a witness. Are you getting the point? Because that gospel you preach to them that they rejected is evidence that will be used against those people at the great white throne judgment on the final day. Because the word witness means evidence. Are you getting me? Jesus will remind them if they end up dying without getting saved. He will remind them all those times that the gospel was witnessed to them and they rejected. Okay, so it will make them know. Listen, anybody that will end up in the lake of fire, I'm talking of human beings, they will know the reason why they are going there, and they will know that they deserve to go. That is not God's fault. That God is not wicked. It's their choice. Am I communicating?
This gospel shall be preached in all the oikomene for a witness unto all ethnos, all nations. Is ethnos, and then shall the end come. Glory to God. Acts 17 verse 6. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Shaleboko sofrahatala gabrakadaya. Eliko frakatai. He says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now, oikomene is a Greek word, translated world here. And it refers to what? The land part of the earth, land, comma, the terrain part of the globe, the whole inhabited earth. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now, let's go back to Luke 19. So, Jesus gave us an assignment. He said, occupy till I come. We should do kingdom business, which is our primary assignment on earth. Kingdom advancement and establishment must be the business of every believer. It's our primary purpose on earth. Every believer in Christ is called. Every believer in Christ is chosen. Every believer is sent. Three keywords. Say with me, I am called, I am chosen, and I am sent. I told you our calling generally is in two categories. Called to fivefold ministry and marketplace. Any believer that is not called to fivefold, automatically his calling is finds expression in the marketplace of the world. Glory to God. He called his 10 servants. Can you see? He called them. He called them. In Christ, you have been called by the gospel. Am I communicating? And then he chose us. Jesus said, you have not chosen me. John 15:16. But I have chosen you and I have sent you. That you should go and what? Bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That's John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Say with me, I am God's choice. Say it very boldly. I am God's choice. Did you see that? That means God believes in you. Stop doubting yourself. Will God call somebody he does not believe in? So stop looking down on yourself, okay? God believes in you. That's why he called you. He said, you've not chosen me. I've chosen you. And I've ordained you. I've commissioned you. I've appointed you. I've anointed you. That you should go and bring forth what? Fruit. Produce result. Win souls. Fruit of souls. That your fruit should remain. Whatsoever ye shall ask my Father in my name, I will what? Do it. John 20:21. Jesus said, as the Father, John 20:21, have sent me, even so what? Send I you. So say it again. I have been called, I have been chosen, and I have been sent. Sent to do what? To carry out the Great Commission. To fulfill the Great Commission. To carry out the ministry of reconciliation. That's reconciling the world back to Christ. Through soul winning. Through evangelism. Through discipleship. Am I communicating? Very important. Every believer in the marketplace is on an apostolic assignment. To colonize it for Christ. And take it over for Jesus our Lord. Glory to God. So you are not just working to earn salary. You are not just in school to earn a degree. No. Now, there is what we call primary assignment and there is secondary. Am I communicating? Working to earn salary is not your primary assignment in that workplace. It's your secondary assignment. Being in uni just up La Poly or in secondary school, To just get education, get degree, get job. That's not your primary purpose as far as God is concerned. That one is secondary. Your primary purpose, why you are there, is what? Help me now. Is what? Kingdom advancement and establishment. preach the gospel, become a minister of reconciliation. Hallelujah. It's an apostolic assignment, and you are the apostle in the marketplace. Let me tell your neighbor, you are an apostle sent to the marketplace. That marketplace can be your workplace. It can be the digital world. It can be the internet, social media. That area of assignment is your platform for doing kingdom business. Your job is a platform. Your career profession is a platform. Your workplace is a platform. That your business is a platform to do kingdom business, to advance the gospel of the kingdom, to win souls and disciple them for Jesus. Your school is a platform. Your institution is a platform. Glory to God. Somebody say platforms. They are your pulpit. Not all of us will hold mic in church like this. Stop dragging mic with your pastor. Your own platform is your sphere of influence. Am I communicating? Leverage upon it to do kingdom business. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on candle what? Stand, that it may give light to what? All in the house. Now that candle stand is like your platform. Is watch this. The candle stand is a platform for the candle to stand and shine. Watch this. That candle stand is your career, is your job. Am I communicating? Is your school, your God-given platform, so that you will stand there and what? Shine the light of the gospel. Am I communicating? And light represents influence. You have, tell yourself, I have the power of influence. You can influence those in your sphere of influence. You can influence those in your sphere of contact for Jesus. Occupy till I come. Am I communicating? He said the kingdom of God is like small, little wheat, bah, that you put inside little dough, that or wheat you put inside bread. And then the thing will make the whole thing to rise. Why? Because the wheat has influence. Somebody say influence. Can you see that little wheat they put inside bread? It can influence the whole size of the bread. That is how powerful you are. Every kingdom citizen is an influencer. God wants you to influence your world, influence your sphere of influence, influence them with the gospel. Glory to God. He said we should occupy till he what? He comes. And there is going to be a day of reckoning. There is going to be a day of judgment. I've told you there are three kinds of judgment, okay? Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. We are going to be accountable to him. And he's going to reward us. Depending on how we treated the kingdom business. Depending on what? The assignment he gave to us. Am I communicating? Are you aware there is going to be a reward for your service in the kingdom? Are you aware? He gave them £10. He said what? Occupy or do kingdom business with it till I come. Are you getting me? In other words, you should trade with it profitably in a way that you make profit. The kingdom assignment or mandate, occupy till I come, means you do kingdom business profitably with the capital God has given you. You do kingdom business profitably. In other words, produce profit. Let me tell you, neighbor, let your life produce profit for the kingdom. God has invested so much in you. Do you know it took God, the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, for him to purchase you? He has invested so much in you. God needed to kill himself in order to purchase you. He has invested so much. Will you allow his investment in your life to be a waste? Say with me, I refuse to be a wasted investment.
my life must produce profit for the kingdom. You see, God is a shrewd businessman, and his profit is in souls. Glory to God. So he said, occupy till I come. And guess what? He's coming back. I said, Jesus is coming back. And when we say he's coming back, it's not one cliche. No. He's coming back for real. As in for real. Okay. Some scriptural fact to know concerning the second coming of Christ. Some scriptural fact to know concerning the second coming of Christ. Number one, the second coming of Christ will be preceded by the secret coming of Christ for his church. That's before the second coming of Christ, there will be a secret. Somebody say secret. Somebody can help me with the board. The secret coming of Christ for his church. We call it the rapture of the church. That secret coming of Christ is called the rapture of the church. And this secret coming of Christ, which is the rapture of the church, will occur 7 years before the second coming of Christ. Glory to God. The rapture of the church is a secret coming of Christ. It's going to occur 7 years before the second coming of Christ. Glory to God. You know, look up. People talk about the signs of the second coming. The signs of the second coming in the Bible. There are so many signs, right? There are so many signs if you study scripture. But guess what? The surest sign, the most important sign of the second coming of Christ is actually the rapture of the church. Are you listening? If the rapture happens today, just know that 7 years after today, Jesus is coming back. That's the second coming. The second coming will happen 7 years after the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church itself is one of the signs of the second coming of Christ. In fact, it is the most important sign. It is the surest sign. Am I communicating? Next, you know, there are people that say they don't believe in rapture. Give me 1 Thessalonians 4:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. There are people that say they don't believe. Okay, verse 13. Give me verse 13. There are people that say they don't believe in rapture. You know their reason? Shall I tell you their reason? They say the word rapture is not in the Bible. So therefore, they don't believe in the rapture. Because this word called rapture doesn't exist. This English word is not in the Bible. Are they right? They are right in that this word rapture is not in the Bible. But they are wrong in that there is nothing like the rapture of the church. That's where they are wrong. Am I communicating? Just follow me carefully. But look at Apostle Paul. You know, Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Thessalonica. During his first missionary journey, he had visited them. He preached the gospel there, won souls, planted a church. He now, he had told them during his message that Jesus is coming back. He told them about the second coming of Christ. So they were waiting for the second coming of Christ. And some of them have even died, and Jesus has not yet come. So they were worried. He said, Paul, you told us Jesus is coming. What of those that have died? Does that mean that we miss his coming? So Paul needed to write this letter, okay, to address so many things. Okay? He needed to write this letter. Am I communicating? In fact, there were some that stopped walking. They sat down. They were waiting for the coming. They were just looking into the sky. You know, if you read earlier, Paul needed to correct that mentality. He doesn't say, I heard that some of you are not walking. You are busybody. He said, he that does not walk should not eat. He needed to command them to start walking. Are you getting me? Now, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. That's those that have died in Christ. He said that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
If a born again Christian die, he said you shouldn't be sorrowing. Am I communicating? I'm behaving as if we are hopeless. No. Are you getting the point? You know, we feel the pain of loss of a loved one. Okay, we mourn with those that mourn, but we don't sorrow like the people of the world. Because we have hope. They only slept in Christ. They will wake up at the rapture. Are you getting my point? Next verse. It says, For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Glory to God. So there is hope. Next verse. You know, when you talk about rapture, many Christians, they are afraid. People fear terror. Do you know that is a wrong response? Anytime you hear the rapture, you should be excited. You should be encouraged. Are you getting my point? It should motivate you. Glory to God. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Next verse, 16. He said, for the Lord himself is describing what will happen during the rapture of the church. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Question, who will rise first? He said the dead in Christ. That's all the believers that have died that are with Jesus. They will have to leave heaven. They will come back to the earth. Huh? They will pick their body, but their body will be changed. Ah, yeah. Glory to God. He said they will be the first to rise. Next verse. He said, then we which are alive, that's believers alive during the rapture, and remain shall be caught up. Somebody say caught up. That word caught up is a Greek word apazo, apazo. Now apazo means to snatch, to seize, to snatch away, to catch away, or to claim something unto yourself. Am I communicating? Now, the word apazo, translated caught up, in the, that word caught up, in the Latin, it is rapturo. The Latin translation of that same word, caught up, in this 1 Thessalonians 4:17 is the word rapturo, from where they get the word rapture. Can you see where the word rapture came from? So actually, rapturo and apazo, they mean the same thing. Am I communicating? Now this one is Greek. Apazo is Greek. Okay? It means Jesus will seize the church. He will snatch away his church. He will catch away. He will claim unto himself the church. The church will be caught up and transferred to heaven. Am I communicating? Somebody say, during the rapture, are we going with our clothes or the clothes will fall down? Because you watch some movie, you saw clothes fell down. Have you been there? Eh? Somebody even asked, if I was holding money in my pocket, will I go with the money? Praise God. Praise God. Say, are we going to be naked and be flying naked like first flight? No, we will not be naked. Am I coming? The Bible says you shall be changed. Aya, call it over. Your body will be changed. This, your body, is going to be same. How do I put this now? The changed version of your body. That's The same height you have, you will go to heaven with the same body with the same height, but it's going to be the glorified celestial body, so that if you were short on earth, you will not suddenly be tall in heaven. If you were fat on earth, you will not suddenly be slim in heaven. Or if you were slim, you will not suddenly gain extra 20 kg. It will be the same body, but the glorified version. Are you getting me? The glorified celestial body. He said, we shall be changed. The Greek word is alasso. Glory to God. Are you getting the point? It says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Can you see this? So, those that died in Christ will come back, pick their body. Their body will be changed. They will be the first to. And then we will join them in the cloud. And then to meet the Lord in the air. Did you notice? Jesus' leg will not touch the earth. Jesus will be in the air. Am I communicating? We will now meet up. So, rapture is family reunion. Are you getting the point? Wait. God's family. There is a branch on earth. There is a branch in heaven. Those that have died in Christ. He said the heaven branch will come back to the earth to pick their body. And then they will be changed. Then they will rise first. Then who will go and meet them? Is that not family reunion? So those of you that have lost your loved ones that are born again, you will see them again. You see your grandfather. Granny, you even get dimple. No wonder I had dimple too. You understand? It's family reunion. You should be excited about it. He says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18. He said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Glory to God. 19. Shale gobo sagabadaya. 19. Okay, give me 1 Corinthians 15:51. Still talking about the rapture of the church. Apazo. The catching away. You know, the Bible says, by faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven. Do you know what happened to Enoch was rapture? In the Old Testament, those that say they don't believe in rapture, look at the precedence even in the Old Testament. By faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven. Spirit, soul, and body. When Philip, the same Greek word, apostle, was what was used. When Philip, in Acts 8:39, after he finished baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch who just gave his life to Christ, the Bible says, suddenly Philip was caught up. That word caught up is apostle. So even Philip experienced rapture, but this time around it was from one location on earth to another. Are you getting me? Is that same word apostle? Look at it. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. The rapture is a mystery. I said the rapture of the church is one of the kingdom mysteries. Not everybody will understand it. Only those that belong to the kingdom. Those that are initiated. Am I communicating? He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Talking of the sleep of death. So those that say all Christians will die. Read this scripture again. He said, we shall not all sleep in death. But we shall what? All be changed. The Greek word is ayagabalakataya. Elefrikotekida. Metaschematizo. Let's move. We shall all be changed. Next verse. In a moment. The rapture will happen in a moment. There will be no time to say goodbye. Are you getting me? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. That's before you blink your eye. You know the fastest muscle is this muscle that controls blinking. The fastest muscle in the body, anatomy teaches that is I've forgotten the name of that muscle that controls blink. That's why when something, maybe fly or something, want to enter your eye, unconsciously you blink to cover your eye, to protect the eye. True of us. But the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to tell you how fast the rapture will happen. Tell your neighbor, live ready. Don't just get ready. Live ready. He said, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Glory to God. The dead, those that died in Christ, and we shall be changed. Glory to God. Next verse. He said, for this corruptible, that's this corruptible body, this dead doomed body, must put on incorruption. Are you getting me? The life of God in us will dominate us and swallow up immortality. And this mortal must put on immortality. That kind of body that Jesus resurrected with is that kind of body we will have at the rapture. That's the kind of body. Now, that body, can you eat? Somebody say, can I eat food with my celestial body? Yes. Didn't Jesus eat fish and this thing after he resurrected? But does that body depend on food for survival? No. It's optional. Food or no food, it does not survive on food. It lives by the spirit. Are you getting me? Unlike this physical body that depends on food for survival, your celestial glorified body does not depend on food for survival, even though you can eat. Are you getting me? Can you touch it? Yes. Remember, Jesus said, touch me, Thomas. He said, this is not flesh and bones. He said, this is not a spirit. He said, touch me. And he touched him. In other words, you can touch the body. Are you getting me? Glory to God. He says, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Glory to God. So even if somebody have a HIV or kidney failure, all of that will be fixed. Hey, Koborabagadaya. Librando Kosakata. That body is not subject to sickness. It will swallow up sickness. Glory to God. Next verse. He said, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is what? Swallowed up in victory. Can you shout amen? Amen. So the rapture of the church is real. It will happen 7 years before the second coming. Somebody say, when will the rapture happen? Anytime. We are already in the season. Jesus can come secretly first for his church anytime. Are you getting me? He said, will all believers be raptured? Will they go with first flight? No. Only believers who are ready and watchful and are living for the Lord will go with the first flight. Those who are prepared, those who live ready, those who are watchful. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. Give me Mark 13, verse 32. He said, watch and pray. Because you don't know when he's coming. He's coming like a thief in the night. The rapture of the church will be like a thief in the night to the people of the world. As in, Jesus came like a thief in the night. Okay? Give me New King James Version. New King James Version. So, believers that are ready, watchful, and living for the Lord, we go for the first flight. We go with the first flight. Those who are spiritually sensitive, alert, and burning for the Lord. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 2 set of believers. Now, that parable of 10 virgins is talking of the rapture of the church. Remember, the bridegroom came when? Midnight. And then they blew a trumpet or something. They say he's around. It's the rapture of the church. Only those that had oil in their lamp. Those that ayagabalata. Those who are fire for God. On fire for God. Burning for the Lord. Living for him. Those who are ready and are watchful in the spirit. Went with the bridegroom. Those foolish virgins that didn't have oil. They didn't go. May you not be a foolish Christian. They say, leave fornication alone, you will not hear. Leave fornication, leave adultery alone, you will not hear. Now, rapture have caught you, you are on top of somebody. That one, that believer will not even hear the rapture. He will be too deaf to hear. Am I coming? You will be too deaf. You know, spiritually say, you will even hear. We don't go. And if you miss the rapture, you will not miss the great tribulation. Yes. You wait for Antichrist terrorist government. Now, he said, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. But I didn't say believers that miss first flight, the rapture of the church. I didn't say they will not make heaven. But they will have to go through what? The great tribulation. Okay? And it's not a good news, because this earth will not be a good place during that period. But those that go through the great tribulation and refuse to accept the mark of the beast, or they refuse to worship the beast or accept his mark, they will be killed. But it's better they die without doing that, because there is hope for them. There is going to be another flight for them, okay? If you read the book of Revelation, okay, there was a flight for them. It's not only one flight, there are other flights. Glory to God. They will still make heaven, but they will go through the great tribulation. Are you getting the point? But anybody that accepts that mark of the beast is doomed. No amount of suffering should make them accept the mark, because the person becomes irredeemable, whether he's a believer or non-believer. Okay? Will some people still be saved after the rapture? Yes. Some people will still be saved. In fact, it's after the rapture, during the great tribulation, that is when most of the Jews will be saved. Most of the Jews, you know, currently, a lot of Jews are not born again. Hope you know. Their religion is Judaism. Okay? But it's during that period that they will be saved. The Bible talked about those two witnesses that will arise and they will preach. Then from every tribe, 12,000, 144,000 Jews, okay? He said they will be saved during that period, even though there will still be other people that will be saved. Glory to God. But there is hope for the Jews. So don't worry for them. No, break your head for the Jews. Even if they are not saved before rapture, there is hope for them. You need to understand something about the Jews. Look up. Why is Israel so important to God? I'll tell you why. God gave them the first covenant. God gave them what? The first covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. Do you know the Abrahamic covenant is an everlasting covenant? Are you aware? It's an everlasting covenant too. There is the Abrahamic covenant. It preexisted the Mosaic law. Hope you know that. The law was given like 400 years after that covenant God made with Abraham. So, don't think that Israel is not important. In fact, let me surprise you. All the event of the end time centers around Israel. Israel is a focal point. That's why I like to hear any news about Israel. Because all the event of the end time, Israel is the main character. In fact, let me surprise you. The second coming of Christ, Jesus is not coming to Nigeria. It's not Nigeria he will land. It's not even America. It's not Europe. It's not UK. It's Israel is going to land. The second coming of Christ, Jesus is coming primarily for the Jews. He's not coming for us. He's coming with us. Remember, 7 years before the second coming, the church has been raptured. So during the second coming, he will now come with those that were raptured 7 years ago. So the second coming of Christ is coming with the saints that were raptured 7 years ago. Is coming for Israel, for the Jews. Praise God. Are you learning something? So, concerning the rapture, it says, but of that day and hour knows no man, not even the angels in heaven, but not the Son, but the Father only. 33. He said, take heed, watch and pray. Tell your neighbor, watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. Next verse. Spiritual alertness and sensitivity. Very important. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave what? Authority to his servants. Is that not what he did? In Luke 19. He gave what? Authority to his servant and to each his work. He gave us an assignment. To everybody's work. And commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Next verse. Next verse. He will judge us based on our faithfulness to his the assignment he gave us. He said, take heed. He said, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Can you see? He says, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. These are the possible times that Jesus will come. Did you see that? Next verse. He said, least coming suddenly, he find you what? Sleeping. May you not sleep, spiritual sleep and slumber. May you not be a victim of it. Tell your neighbor, watch and pray. Verse, next verse. 37. He said, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Just look at your neighbor and say, watch and pray. Glory to God. Any believer, I say any believer who misses the rapture will go through the great tribulation for 7 years. Okay, give me that timeline. Okay, I have a little picture. Give me that timeline. The one that has the detail of the end time event. Watch this. Biblical what? Events timeline. Now, the first coming of Christ talks of when Jesus came for the first time. He was born as a baby, Mary Pekin, right? In the manger. Now, then he died, he resurrected. After 3.5 years, he resurrected and then gave authority to the church. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and that began the church age. Somebody say church age. And guess what? We are in the church age now. From the day the Holy Spirit was released, the church age began. Glory to God. Now, the church age continues until the rapture of the church. Okay? After we are raptured, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that's 2 Corinthians 5:10, for reward and accountability, right? He said we shall be judged, some people will be rewarded, some will not be rewarded, some will be rewarded more, some will be rewarded less, depending on our faithfulness to the assignment he gave us. Then 7 years after the rapture of the church is the second coming of Christ. Between the rapture and second coming is a period of 7 years. Now, on earth, these 7 years is the great tribulation. Is further divided into first 3.5 years, second 3.5 years. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Give me that second picture of the end time event. Give me the second one. The second one. Okay, good. So, we are here presently in the church age. Then, when the rapture of the church happens, we shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ for reward or no reward. More reward or less reward. Then, 7 years after is the second coming, the return of Christ. Now, in the rapture, we are going with him. In the return, we are coming with him. Now, what are we going to be doing? Those of us raptured, the saint in heaven, during those 7 years before the second coming. Eh? Look at it there now. We are enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. Eh? Glory to God. It's like wedding reception. Lasting 7 years. Glory to God. With your white garment. Some people don't know why the bride wears white garment during church wedding. This is the place we got it from. No, some Christians don't know. Say, why don't you just wear your traditional clothes for church wedding? You see, wedding on earth is a reflection of something greater. The relationship between Christ and his church, which is his bride. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, every believer is wearing white linen, white raiment. That's why the bride in Christian wedding wear what? White wedding gown, not black, not blue, not brown. Glory to God. White is a symbol of purity. Like one pastor said, he says some people, they don't sleep around, go come wear white wedding. They give them black wedding gown. They don't play game too much. Say, you should give them black. Glory to God. Now look up. Then after the marriage supper of the Lamb, we will now return with Christ. And, okay, let's see some scripture that has to do with the second coming. Revelation, okay, first of all, Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Acts 1 6, then Revelation 1 7. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They are talking of the millennial reign of Christ here. Verse 7. And he said, oh, there is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power. Move on. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, can you see the ascension of Jesus? They were looking at him. He was taken up. And a cloud, and we say it's a cloud of witnesses, those Old Testament saints that he had rescued from Abraham's bosom. This was where he now took them to heaven. A cloud received him out of their sight. Next verse. And while they were looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men, these were angels, stood by them in white apparel. Next verse. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. This is the second coming of Christ. He said, in the same manner that he ascended from Mount Olive, he will come back. Are you getting my point? Those two angels were educating them. As ye have seen him go into heaven. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. From where? Mount Olive. So Jesus ascended from Mount Olive. Now watch this. In the same manner, during the second coming of Christ. And I say second coming, is coming with the church, the saints that were raptured 7 years before. Am I communicating? He will come in that same manner. In the rapture, it was a secret coming. Everybody will not see him during the rapture. In fact, the people of the world will not know he came. Remember, Jesus' leg will not touch the air during rapture. It will be in the mid-air. We'll go and meet, we'll catch up with him. But in the second coming, every eye shall see him. Am I communicating? Give me Revelation 1:7. The second coming will be public, visible to everybody globally. When John was writing this book of Revelation, they had not discovered the internet. So imagine, people were wondering, how will every eye see him? Now you know that is possible, right? Through technology, right? Something can be happening and the whole world is seeing it at the same time. You see, he said, behold, he cometh with clouds. This cloud there is not literal cloud. It's cloud of believers, the saints that were raptured 7 years before. Jude said it. He said, behold, Enoch prophesied that the Lord cometh with thousands and thousands of his saints. That's the second coming. That thousands and thousands of the saints is the cloud that you are seeing there. He cometh with cloud. Every eye shall see him. In the rapture, every eye shall not see him. But second coming, every eye shall see him. Are you seeing this? It will not happen in the twinkling of an eye like rapture. Jesus will be descending. It will not be too fast. You know, some of you in your mind, boom. No. He will be descending gradually. 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 So, CNN will carry it. BBC will carry it. Say, can you see how he's coming down? So every eye shall see him. Glory to God. He said, and they also which pierce him. That's even the Jews shall see him. They were the one that pierced him. Remember, in the first coming, he came unto his own. His own received him not. They betrayed him. He said, and all kindreds of the earth shall bewail because of him. Hallelujah. Zechariah 14. He said, occupy till I come, and the master is coming back. I say he's coming back. He said, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. This is the second coming. Next verse, verse 2. He says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now listen, in the second coming, Jesus will arrive in the midst of battle. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. The Antichrist at that point had taken over Jerusalem. In fact, he will even enter the temple and sit in the seat of God and demand worship. That's what Daniel called the abomination of desolation. That particular temple, as I'm speaking right now, it has not been built. When will it be built? During the Great Tribulation, the first 3.5 years. That's when Israel will build the temple. When the Antichrist comes initially, he will not come as a man of war. No, he will come as a man of peace. He will even sign peace treaty with Israel. During that first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, Israel will enjoy peace. But in the middle of it, he will now break that truth and then reveal his true color. Am I communicating? You see, one of Satan's deadliest weapons is deception. And that's what the Antichrist will use. You think he will come with horns? You know, there are some movies you see Antichrist with horns. Nah, lie. He will come as a good man. He will come as a man of peace. He will have the solution to all the problems of the world at that point. Everybody will say, Kai, that's the man, that's the man. So, like the Bible said, 10 kings will give to him his power. 10 kings will give to the Antichrist his power. And that is where you will have one world government. And then, of course, one world economy, and then one world religion. Am I communicating? The Antichrist is going to gather armies to attack Jerusalem. That's what this scripture is talking about. Because there is one world government, the Antichrist is controlling the armies. He will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. But I told you, it's not all nations per se that we buy into his idea. Specifically, Russia and China will not buy into his ideology. Okay? It says, they will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and houses rifled, and women ravished, and all of the city shall go into captivity. And then he said, the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This is during that great tribulation. Next verse. Then shall the Lord go forth. This is the second coming of Christ now. And fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Okay? The battle of Armageddon. Next verse. It says, his feet shall stand in that day upon what? Mount Olive. Remember what the angel told those people. He said he will come back in that like manner. So Jesus will land on Mount Olive, okay? Which is before Jerusalem on the east. He will pass through that east gate. Am I communicating? And the Mount Olive shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Praise God. This is still talking about the event of the second coming. Give me 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Praise God. Jesus' second coming will be in the midst of the battle of Armageddon. And I said he is coming primarily for the Jews, Israel. Jesus will defeat and destroy the Antichrist and his armies arrayed against Israel during his second coming. His second coming will be visible to all globally. It will descend and land on Mount Olive. And as you can see, Mount Olive will divide into two. It will cleave. There will be a valley in between. Okay. Now, we beseech you, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. Two things here. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the second coming, praise God. And then what? Our gathering unto him. That's the rapture of the church. Praise God. Next verse. The gathering together unto him is the rapture, which will happen 7 years before the second coming. He said that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Next verse. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a what? A falling away. A falling away first. And that falling away is apostasia, okay? Some people will fall away from the faith. It says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Can you see the names given to the Antichrist? He is called a man of sin. He is called what? Son of perdition. Next verse. Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God. Can you see this? That's why he's called Antichrist. And that is worshipped. So he as God is posing as God, seated in the temple of God. This is the abomination that causes desolation, the desecration of the temple during the great tribulation, the second half of the 7 years. He says, showing himself that he is God. Next verse. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Next verse. He said, now ye know what withholded, that he might be revealed in his time. So there is a set time for the Antichrist to be revealed on earth. But Apostle Paul is saying, do you know what is withholding him? Next verse. Let's find out. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Next verse, 8. He said, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Go back to verse 7. Let's see what is withholding the Antichrist from being revealed in his time. He said, he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. There is something that is restraining and withholding the Antichrist from being revealed. He said that he that letted will let until he be taken out of the way. What is that? It's actually the church. The activity of the Holy Spirit through the church. Do you know that it's our presence that is restraining the Antichrist from being revealed? Are you aware? Yes. The church is the restraining power of evil in this world. The reason why the Antichrist has not shown his face is because we are still here. It is after the church is taken out of the way through the rapture. Am I communicating? Then the Antichrist will be revealed. He will show his face. Some people say he's already on earth. Some say he's not yet on earth. But whether he's on earth or he's not yet on earth, I mean the person of the Antichrist, I don't know, but all I know is that he cannot show his face until what? We are raptured. Because this is the church age. This is not his time. No, it can't be revealed now. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So when the church is taken out of the way through the rapture, the Antichrist will now reveal himself. Next verse. You can move now. It says, and then the wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. Can you see? When Jesus descend, land on Mount Olive, he will come during the battle of Armageddon. And then, remember, the Antichrist has gathered the armies of the nation, and he has taken over Jerusalem. But the Bible says Jesus will destroy him. With what? The spirit or breath of his mouth. He will consume him and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the second coming. Verse 9. Even him, that's the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You see, the Antichrist is going to have his own prophet, false prophet, that will be performing so many false miracles, fake signs, and people have not seen fake miracle yet. Wait until the Antichrist and his prophet show up. Lying signs and wonders. Next verse. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Oh, next verse. It says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should not, that they should believe a lie. Next verse. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has not from the beginning chosen you, because God had from the beginning chosen you to what? Salvation. Through what? The sanctification of the Spirit and what? Believe of truth. Can you shout amen? Say, tell your neighbor, my case is different. God has chosen us unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So can you see that? He called us. And then, after Christ, give me that picture again. That's the third timetable. After Jesus comes, consumes the Antichrist and destroys him and his army that have invaded Jerusalem, Christ will now set up his earthly kingdom and rule the earth from Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the headquarters of the world then. Jesus is going to rule the world from Jerusalem. His temple will be there, and then he will rule for a period of what? 1,000 years. And during that period of 1,000 years, Satan will be bound and put in bottomless pit. Praise God. The Bible says, an angel of the Lord bind Satan and then throw him into a bottomless pit. Do you know the meaning of bottomless pit? A pit that has no bottom. That means for 1,000 years, Satan will be descending in the pit. Because it has no bottom. Only God can punish somebody like that too. I'm telling you, Satan will be descending for 1,000 years and he will never arrive at the bottom. And because he is bound and imprisoned there, the world will enjoy peace. There will be prosperity. That's during that 1,000 years, Jesus, the millennial reign, that's what we call the millennium. Praise God. He will reign in Jerusalem, okay? All nations will be going to Jerusalem for pilgrimage and to pay homage to Christ. Now watch this. We are here, church age, are we? Great tribulation, 7 years, divided into 3.5 years, beginning of sorrows. Then another 3.5 years of suffering, untold suffering and pain. Okay, Jesus will return here in the midst of the battle of Armageddon, and then conquer the Antichrist and the armies of the nation that have invaded and taken over Jerusalem. Jesus
we now bind Satan for 1,000 years, and now millennia reign. He will reign for this 1,000 years, okay? Then after 1,000 years, Satan will be released. Okay? He will be released. That's the battle of Gog and Magog. He will deceive the whole nations again. And then he will rally them to battle, to fight Jesus. And then fire will come out of Jesus' mouth and consume him. And then Satan and the Antichrist will be thrown into the lake of fire. But look at the order. The first set of people that will be thrown into lake of fire. Nobody is in lake of fire now. People are in hell, but nobody is in lake of fire. The first set is the beast and the prophet. The beast and his prophet will be thrown. Next, Satan will join them. Then, after the great white throne judgment, this final judgment for unbelievers, the judgment seat of Christ is for believers. These ones have already made heaven. Believers will not be judged here. This is for unbelievers, okay? Whosoever name is not found written in the book of life will be thrown into lake of fire, where the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan already are. So three of them will be the first to enter. Who are the first three people that will enter lake of fire? The beast, his false prophet, Satan himself. Right now, Satan is not in lake of fire. Satan is not even in hell. He is boss. Even if he goes to hell, he's a big boy. But in lake of fire, no big boy. He will be tormented there. Are you getting me? Then whosoever name is not found written will be thrown. Oh, Jesus said this lake of fire was not designed for human beings. He said it was designed for Satan and his fallen angels. Are you aware? But people go here by their choice. They rejected the gospel. And the sin of rejecting the gospel cannot be pardoned. If the person died in that state, there is no forgiveness for the person. There is no hope. The person will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Because even hell and death were cast into the lake of fire. Forever banished from the presence of God. They will be tormented forever and ever and ever. This is why we need to preach the gospel. Sinners don't have to go there. Rise to your feet. It's after this great white throne judgment. John then said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth descending from the throne. Praise God. That is where we will spend eternity. New heaven, new earth. Specifically new earth, where we will rule and reign. Will rule and reign over places, over cities. It will give us authority depending on our faithfulness to kingdom assignment. He said we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. Souls for whom Jesus died. Are you listening? To wit, God was with Christ, reconciling the world to himself. I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Father, I receive grace to be obedient to this heavenly vision. I receive grace to be obedient to this kingdom assignment. Can you talk to the Lord? 1-2 minutes. Go ahead. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. If you have not been serious with kingdom business, Jesus said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? It's an emergency. Can't you see what is happening in the world? Jesus said, when you begin to see nations rise up against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, these are signs of the end time, and we are in the end times. Jesus said, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Kapaligo barakatai, brando kosekida kaparakatai, Go ahead and speak to the Lord. Manda prosketila, ronde kepalakundre hetila kapatai, librando boko sakata. Grace to preach the gospel. Grace to advance the kingdom. Grace, I refuse to be silent. I double my effort. I double my effort concerning kingdom advancement endeavor, kingdom service, soul winning, prayer, intercession for the salvation of souls, for the spread of the gospel. Grace to give towards kingdom advancement. I double my effort. I refuse to be complacent. Make sure you are praying. Paul said the love of Christ constraining us. We don't judge. If one be dead, then he says he has died for us, that we who live should not live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us. The love of God, the love of Christ controls us, impels us, constrains us, moves us to preach the gospel. Liga bakatai. He said we are ambassadors for Christ. Liga toseketia. Mandroboko sabalatia. Randeke poso preketea. Katakataka palatai. We are Christ's ambassadors. We refuse to be irresponsible. We receive grace to take up this kingdom responsibility of preaching the gospel, of reaching out to the lost, of discipling those souls. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Do kingdom business with the talent, the pounds I gave you. He empowered us. He gave us capital. And he told us to do kingdom business with it. We refuse to be irresponsible. We refuse every form of distraction. Grace to focus on this kingdom advancement project. Malekobo sepeletenia. Balakunde ke parakatai. Malabo sofrete legedo shalabatai. In the name of Jesus. All eyes closed, all heads bow. No movement, please. If you are in this place and you know that if the rapture takes place now, you are not sure of going with Jesus, or you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord, you want to be born again, you want to make your ways right with God, you want to surrender to Jesus, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are, including those following me online. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. I would love to pray for you. I would love to pray for you. Lift up your right hand. If you are lifting up your right hand, can you join me forward? Come forward, come forward, as I pray for you right now. Including those following online. Shelikobo rakatai. Mandrakatia. Thank you, Father. I want you to say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. On the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. Believe in my heart, God raised you from the dead. Thank you for saving me. I receive eternal life into my spirit. From this day henceforth, I choose to live for you. No going back. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.